It can't touch us. It can't hold on to us. It can't grab a hold and pull us back down into it again. It'll try, and it'll tempt us, and it'll tease at us. But all it can do on a smooth surface is just kind of tickle us and poke us and tap at us to get our attention. And all we have to do is just keep holding our attention then into that loving that has created this smooth surface so that we now live in the fullness of who we are as soul, that smooth presence of the Lord divine within us. And how did we get all these little barbs of energy out there that the negativity of the world could grab a hold of us in the first place? It's because we looked down and out. We dispersed our energy into this creation. And we created these little barbs of energy going out into the world looking for answer and solution and fulfillment. And the negativity of the world just reached up and grabbed a hold and says, oh, I'll give you that. I'll give you this. Okay, now I've got a hold of you. Now come on down here and play with me. So all we have to do is withdraw all that attention, all that want and desire from this world, and give it back up to where it truly belongs, which is with God. To worship God in the Spirit. So the more we spend time in meditation every day, the more we spend time in meditation holding our attention inward and upward and truly hold our focus inward and upward into the Lord, into that divine place of loving inside of ourselves here at the seat of the soul, the more we draw away our attention from this world and we truly begin to live in the Spirit of who we are fully. And we do have then the smooth surface by which this world cannot touch us. It has nothing to hold on to, nothing to attract us into, and we are free. We are free. And that's what we really want. We want to know God's loving. We want to know that God truly loves us. And we want to live in that loving more and more. We're tired of being empty and alone and separated and feeling unworthy. And what do I have to do to get there? And what did I do to get here in the first place so separated from you? And all the time, God's living right here going, I love you. Hey, do you hear me? I love you. And that's all we want. And that's all we have to do then is to look here, listen here, and wake up here to know that. Here at the seat of the soul inside. For that's where the voice of God dwells, ever speaking what it is you long to hear. That still small voice within, it ain't so still, and it ain't so quiet. It really is a loud, booming voice. It isn't the stillness that you begin to hear it, but that voice is ever moving, ever dynamic, ever expressive. It isn't still, and it takes you on a wondrous journey inside and a wondrous journey through the realms of spirit back home to God, back home to the fullness of who you are in the Lord. And that divine spark that you are, an individualized state of being in this creation, returns back into the fullness once again. From which you came, so shall you return. And that's what we really long for. We long to return from which we came. The challenge is most of us have forgotten where we came from. When I was young, one of the first actions that took place for me with the spiritual teacher inside in my prayer state when I was a kid, this teacher came to me and asked me three questions. And those three questions began my journey. And the three questions were, who are you? Where did you come from? And where are you going? And that began my search. And ultimately, I found out who I am as a child of God. And where did I come from? Out of the heart of God. And where am I going? Into the heart of God. Awake, aware, and living the fullness of who I am. And that's the journey that the soul is on. So every day, ask yourself, who am I right now? Who am I right now? Am I emotions? Am I mind? Am I body? Or am I soul? Who am I right now? How am I living this moment right now? And then ask yourself, where did I come from? And am I living in accordance with where I came from? And where am I going? Am I going into the world to make more money? Or am I going home to God? From which I came, so shall I return. And as you ask those questions every day, it'll begin to bring you focused. It'll begin to bring you back into that one pointed focus inside, even in your day. You'll bring your focus inside to that one pointed action of return. And you'll carry that into your day. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're speaking, it'll remind you to come from that place of loving. And one thing you'll discover is as you wake up to that divine loving here of your own soul, and you begin to recognize and know that river of loving that is God living in you and through you to bring you home, you'll also begin to recognize and acknowledge the divine spark in everyone. Your divine spark in everyone is God, is you, is one. And I'll tell you what, the moment you know that to be true and you see the light of God in everyone that you see in yourself, you can't hold judgment against them because that's God. That's God, living God as God desires to live in them, just as God is living as he desires to live in you. And so you give them that freedom, that's acceptance. You allow them to be just as they are. And it allows you to be just as you are, as the divine in you. But it also reminds you to keep living that divinity and to share that divinity with others as the divine is sharing with you that loving, that grace, that compassion, that caring. Do unto others as you will have it done unto you. It begins by allowing God to do unto you and you doing unto God. Then you do unto God as God is doing unto you. It becomes a movement in all directions of honoring the Lord that lives in all things. But first, you have to find the Lord that lives here at the seat of the soul in order to be able to do that. And that's what meditation is about. It's about waking up to the divine. Waking up. And it is very simple. It is very simple. It's simple if you keep your attention in loving the Lord and allowing yourself to become vulnerable to that movement of the divine river of loving that God has with you and wants you to get into and move on. It isn't so simple if in your meditation you're asking for more money, you're asking for a life partner, you're asking for this or for that in the world. It isn't so simple then, because you're making things more complex, more challenging, and you're creating separation once again between you and the Lord. But it is simple if we hold our attention in that action of loving God and allowing God to be with us in loving. Then it's simple. And then we can find, as we begin to live that in our meditation, we can get up with our eyes open and go into the world and do the day in the world. And our attention is first on God, loving God in all that we're doing. We also find that God will go with us in all that we're doing and just be present there. And the loving begins to transform the day and transform the events of the day. And our relationships change with people. And they respond to us differently. They don't react to us now. They respond to us differently because of that loving, because of that joy, because of that acceptance of them. And they may have hated you, and now they like you. And they might even love you. And they might even share all that with you. And they may not. They may just smile as they walk past you. And yet you'll know that something quite wonderful is happening, because the divine in them is recognizing the divine in you. They may not know that, but that's what's happening. And in that moment, they are acknowledging the divine in you, as you've acknowledged the divine in them. And you'll know it, even if they don't. You'll feel it. You'll see it. As that divine response of loving takes place between you and them. And there's an honoring that takes place. And then a wonderful thing happens as well. You'll begin to see the divine in all of creation. And even a more wondrous thing will happen. The divine in all of creation will begin to acknowledge the divine in you. And then you know you're really living it. Then you know you're moving forward in a wonderful way home to God. And everything that is of God, everything that is divine in creation, just supports you fully in this action of returning home. So allow yourself to pay attention, to be aware. There are many times when I'm moving through nature, walking, driving, however it might be, that I am aware of God's loving in all of creation, in the plants, in the animals, in the air, in the water. And I'm aware that the divine that is in nature is aware of the divine in me. And there's an honoring of that. And we join together in that honoring. And it supports me into yet a higher knowing of God and God's loving. And it's quite remarkable to be moving through a forest or a garden and energetically knowing that the plants are bowing to the divine in you as you bow to the divine in them. And you really experience that honoring, that loving of the divine and the divine, that movement of loving, that river of loving. And then you begin to realize that that's all there is, that everything here is just a rhythm and a flow of loving, ever, ever moving in its own beautiful rhythm and dynamic that manifests everything that is. And all we have to do is begin to hold into that rhythm and that flow and that movement, and our lives become gentler and easier and simpler and one-pointed focused, always into loving, loving with God and God loving the God in us. And then you begin to realize that you do dwell in the Lord, and the Lord does dwell in you, and that you and the Father are one. There is no separation. And you truly can then say that and know that. You may not say it out loud at work, but you can say it inside wherever you go. And when challenge meets you, you can meet that challenge with loving, with knowing, with true knowing of the divine in you. I remember one time, not just too many years ago, I was driving home and I was going a little bit fast, and this policeman pulled me over. And he proceeded to give me a ticket. He asked for my driver's license, and we were talking, and he said, "So why were you in such a hurry?" And I said, I was just kind of lost in the moment. I was thinking about something, and I wasn't paying attention. And it was true. I had just been to the hospital to visit someone who called and said that they needed me to be there. They were in the emergency room, and so I went over, and I spent the afternoon with them. And then I went and did a couple of errands, and I was on my way home. And I was just lost in thought, thinking about them and wondering how they were going to be doing. And so he said, why were you called to the hospital? Is it family? I said, "Oh, no, I'm a minister." And they called me to come over and to just assist them in the process. And so he started to put the book away because I was a minister and I had been out to do service. And he said, "So are you just coming home from the hospital?" I said, "Oh, no, I went out and I did a few errands and stuff." And he said, so you're not just coming back from the hospital? And I said, no, I've been out and doing a couple of other things. And he said, "Well, you could have gotten away with not getting a ticket if you just said, 'Yes, I'm just coming home from the hospital.'" He said, "It's unfortunate you're so honest as a minister." And I said, "Well, you know, it is what it is, and I'm not going to deny anything." And all of a sudden, there was a great love that I had for him, of just this process of he was just taking care of me. He was making sure that I wasn't going to hurt somebody else by speeding or not paying attention. And I felt that he was taking care of me. And I thanked him inside. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, "So you're really okay if I give you this ticket? You're not mad at me?" And I said, "Why should I be mad at you? I'm the one who was speeding." And he laughed. He says, "Boy, can I have you ride in the back seat for a while and see what I really go through?" He says, "I wish you could teach this in your congregation." And I said, "Well, we do the best we can." So it really is, find God in all things. Be in loving with all things, and you'll get it back. But if you carry with you resentment, anger, fear, guess what you're going to draw to you? Just that. And all the things that will amplify that in your life. So go and be joyous in the world. Be joyous in the day. Even when you're not. I've found days where I've not felt good. I've been unhappy a little bit. Been a little bit down, like things aren't quite going the way I want them to. But I know that if I will just go and stand in front of the mirror for a moment and just smile, put on a phony smile, just fake it, that there's something that shifts inside of me. Something moves. Just see myself smile. Even if it's phony, that energy begins to shift. All of a sudden, everything begins to lift a little bit. with that action of smiling. And it begins to lift that veil that seems to have come upon me, that is causing me to be separated, be in shadow, not allowing myself to see the full light of my own being. And if I'll just smile more and more through the day, phony or not, I find that it all lifts and I can be in the light of myself, my soul, of God. Maybe not fully, but enough to where I can feel good, I can feel better, I can feel some happiness in my life rather than just being down in the dumps. You have to make the change in your life. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can come and make me smile. But I can make myself smile, even if it's phony. I can make myself smile and begin to feel the difference. And I can find a way to change myself, to change my life. We have to do it ourselves. That I know. I've been down in the dumps before, and I have had people try to help me out of it. They can't. I may be stuck in a physical hole and they can reach down and pull me up out of the hole along the side of the road, but they can't pull me up out of myself. Only I can do that. So pay attention and find those tools by which you can pull yourself up out of the dump that you found yourself in. You put yourself there. Get yourself out. My tool is a smile. It's as simple as that. I remember one day, years ago, I was really down, just really down. Nothing was going right in my life. And the day started off bad and just continued to get worse and worse as the moments went by. Have you ever had a day where you had 5 flat tires in one day? That was the day. Walked out to get in the car to go to work. Car was parked in the garage. Had a flat tire. Had to jack it up and change it in the garage, and there wasn't that much room to do it all in, but I did it. Got the spare out, put it on, lowered the jack. It was flat. So now here I am. I've got 2 flat tires. I've only got 5 wheels, and I need 4. So I had no choice. I had to wheel one of the flats down to a filling station a few blocks away to get it fixed. I waited. They fixed it. I wheeled it back. I put it on the car. I put in the other flat into the trunk. I drove it over to the filling station. I dropped it off to have them fix it, and I'd pick it up at the end of the day, and I went off to work. I go in to work. And a couple of hours later, somebody that works there came up to the front where I was working and said, "Hey, I think you need to go look at your car. You've got a flat tire." What? I can't. It was a different tire. It wasn't even the tire that was fixed. It was a totally different tire that was flat. So the day started getting worse. Now I needed another tire that was over at the filling station to put on there, my spare. I had no way to get to the filling station right then to get my tire. So what do I do? I had to call a cab at lunch, spend money that I really didn't have, to take a cab to go get my flat tire, my spare tire, to bring it back to put on. And then after I fixed it, I wheeled it across the street, fortunately. There was a filling station across the street from where I worked to get it fixed. And I go in. A little while later, guess what? Somebody told me I had a flat tire. By then I'm going, what's going on, God? I was beginning to feel very picked on. So my day continued that way. Well, I wasn't smiling. I wasn't smiling at myself. I wasn't smiling at my customers. I wasn't smiling. And finally, I realized that I needed to do something to get myself out of this. So I asked to take a leave from my responsibilities up front, and I just went for a walk. I went for a walk. And I'm walking, and I'm complaining, and I'm complaining, and I'm walking. Poor me. God, what are you picking on me for? What did I do wrong? And as I'm walking, this lady comes out of her house to do something in the front yard, and she looks at me, and I'm sure I didn't look real happy. And as I walked on by, she said, have a nice day. And I walked on by, and it just kind of like fell off of me, didn't register. And I kept on walking, and the mailman was pulling up to drop off some mail at the mailbox. And so I had to kind of move around him a little bit. And he said, good afternoon, how are you doing? And I just went, oh, yeah, all right, fine, and kept on walking. And then all of a sudden I heard, I could hear myself say, oh, yeah, right, fine, and realized that I needed to change my attitude. And as I walked on down, this dog that was sitting in the front yard or laying down in this front yard of this house looked at me, and I looked at it, and it just kind of like didn't want to do a thing with me. And then I thought, wait a minute, you know, I don't want to be something that responds in a negative way or has something afraid of me. And so I sat down on the curb, and I just put on a smile. I said, no, I'm going to change this right now. I'm not going to go anywhere till I change me. I'm not going to do a thing until I change me. So I sat there and I just smiled. And I just waited. I waited for something to shift inside of me. And it took a while. Because I had built up all this judgment and anger and frustration and everything. I mean, I had just placed all this stuff out. So I had to transform it all inside of me again. Get myself out of the dump I had put myself in. And then all of a sudden, oh, I felt this dog come up and touch me on my shoulder, just kind of nudge me. I realized something had happened. And it was acknowledging that transition in me. All of a sudden, it wanted to be with me. And I made a commitment myself at that moment. I would never let anything separate me from God again. Not a flat tire or anything. And I remember years later, when I was laying in the hospital and I had cancer, and a doctor came in to tell me that I had cancer, I knew in that moment I wasn't going to let His words separate me from God, separate me from my loving. And when he told me I had cancer, I looked at him and I smiled and I said, so now what do we do? And he said, did you just hear me? I said, you have cancer and it's serious. And I go, I know, I heard you. And as we talked, he began crying because I wasn't responding right. I was supposed to get down and depressed and angry and whatever, like he expected me to do. And I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to let this separate me from God. And that dog really did serve me so well. Find that in your life. Find whatever will transform your life in that way. If you will allow God to serve you, God will serve you. Whether it be a dog, a person, or yourself. And you do not have to allow yourself to be separated from God again. The only one that can separate you from God is you. Nobody else. Nobody else. That I know. So if you feel lost and alone and separate from God, you're responsible. And it's up to you to change that. And the easiest way to change it is to sit down and go within and just speak loving words to God. Speak the name of God. Chant that name. Sing that name. Say the hue. Do the anahue. Or just say, Lord, I love you, and I open to receive your loving. I love you, and I'm open to receive your loving. I love you, and I am receiving your loving. As I am loving you, I am receiving your loving. And allow yourself to begin to know that, to live that. And if you meditate every day, you'll find that God truly does go with you, and you do live in the loving. And when you separate yourself through whatever happens in your life, you'll catch yourself pretty quickly because it won't feel good. And you'll go, wait a minute, Lord, I love you, and I'm opening to receive your loving. I am in your loving, and I'm loving you, and I am in your loving, and I am loving you. Everything that happens to me, everything that is said to me, everything that is given to me, I give it to God. The joy and the horror, I give it to God. This is yours, Lord. I give it to you. God doesn't care what it is that you give to him. And what does God give back? Loving. Give it all to God, and God will give it all to you. And your life will be transformed, and those things will be transformed. And your life will be filled with grace and ease in a simple, simple way. And yeah, you're going to get a flat tire or two or five in a day. But on my fifth flat tire, I'm driving home. I've got the windows rolled down because the mountain laurel is blooming. And I wanted to smell all the mountain laurel as I was driving through, and this was in San Antonio towards Almas Park, and just to be in nature a little bit as I'm driving and smelling the mountain laurel. And all of a sudden I hear, shh, and I'm going, what? So I pull over into the park to see if I've really got a flat tire or what that hissing noise is. I park on this little hill not thinking about it. And the tire goes flat as I get out and look. So now I'm sitting on a hill, and I'm going, what do I do, Lord? You know, I get the jack out, and I start to jack it up, hoping that my spare tire that I've got in the back now isn't flat, that it works, that I get home. And as I get the jack out, this man comes that was sitting over in the park, I guess. I don't know where he came from. He comes up and he says, oh, don't worry about it. Let me do that for you. And he changes my tire right there on the hill. And the jack slipped a couple of times, and he just jacked it back up until he got it right. He changed the tire, put the other in the trunk. He put this jack away, closed it up, and he says, you have a good day. Have a good rest of the day. Hope all goes well. And off he went. My life truly was transformed by that dog and by that man. They demonstrated to me something, that attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. when I got out of the car and saw that fifth flat tire, I didn't go, oh, shit, what in the hell's going on? I just went, oh, okay, here we go. At least I can be out here in the park and smell the mountain laurel while I'm changing it. And then up he came in such a wonderful service, in a wonderful way. So if you don't like your life, realize you're the one who's creating it. And you're the one that can change it. And the easiest way to change it is to connect into the loving every day with God in meditation and allow that loving then to come into your day wherever you go. That's my story today. I love you all so much. I really do. I'm grateful for every one of you.
We are grateful for you.
I just want you to know God's loving the way I know God's loving. I want you to know God's loving for you the way I know God loves you. That's what I want. But guess what? You've got to get it yourself. I can't do it for you. I'll just talk about it and talk about it till you finally get it.
Sure hope I don't have any flat
tires. Oh, I better go call AAA right now. Well, if you ever get five flat tires, we'll have a book to write.
And I know that we were going up
an
almost, and that's so dangerous to change.
It's a hard hill. So anyway, God bless, have fun, and I guess we'll see you next Sunday, if not before.